Welcome to the Cosmic Reality Radio Show with Nancy Hopkins, Walt Silva, and Dolly Howard. This is a production of Cosmic Reality Radio.
Turn away from disaster, horizon side. Choose your heart as a master.
Welcome to the Cosmic Reality Radio Show. It is May 28th, 2019. My name is Nancy Hopkins. With me is Walt Silva and Dolly Howard, and we're here to entertain you. So, hi guys, how are we?
Good evening, everyone.
Hello.
Hi, Dolly.
Hello, Walt, Nancy, everybody.
How's everybody doing? Walt, how are you doing? Because last week you weren't even here. And
I was telling Dolly it wasn't me that had any health issues. It's just I was totally dead beat because I didn't get any sleep that night. And but we were able to help Gordy, you know, I was able to get the homeopathic remedy for the urinary tract irritation. So once he started taking that, but that's the thing with Gordy. He's like a camel, never visits the water.
Let's make, we might, he's a cat. Gordy's a cat, everybody. It's not his son.
So I was telling Nancy that the other girl cats, because he's the only male in the house, you see them from time to time. They go to the water bowls to drink their water. And, of course, the water bowls do have Shanghai nuggets in them. But he's like a camel. He never visits the water bowl. So we have to add water to the food that he eats. That way he'll have a good consumption of water. And if it were up to him, he would eat dry food all day long, which is no good because the problem with cats is you have to watch out for their pH, because if they get too alkaline, they start developing crystals. And that's what gives them urinary irritation. It's not an infection or, you know, some bacterial infection or anything. It's just the crystals build up and they literally get plugged up. In fact, I was still working at Pulmonetics when he was in the hospital for a number of days because he was totally plugged up. He couldn't urinate. So they put a catheter in him and they plug him to an IV and they hydrate him and, you know, in order to clear his bladder of all the crystals. So my neighbor next door, what she would do is she would put a few drops of apple cider vinegar, the one that comes with the mother, the one that looks brown, in the food. So that would lower the pH in the food, and it helps them not develop all those crystals. So
sometimes, what was that?
No, that was... my phone, let me shut it off.
Oh,
well, that's really interesting. Apple cider vinegar, just a few drops in the food?
Yeah, because what we do is however many cans of food we open, it goes into a bowl and we mix it, because sometimes my mom will put the liquid chlorophyll, because that means when they go to the bathroom, they don't smell, because the chlorophyll does that. It neutralizes smell.
Well, hot damn.
Yeah, sometimes my mom puts diatomaceous earth because that kills any parasites in the gut. So, and we put the water, add water to it. So that way they get, you know, the water and other things. So sometimes when I do the mix, I'll put a few drops of the apple cider vinegar, which keeps them on a more balanced pH as opposed to being so alkaline.
See that, Dolly? Even his cats don't, their shit doesn't smell.
Yeah. Jeez.
But now I know why his doesn't.
It works for humans too, let me tell you.
I love it. So a little apple cider vinegar, a little of the chlorophyll.
Yep.
Chlorophyll. And your cats don't have stinky poos, and they may not develop the crystals. Those crystals are really nasty.
Yeah.
They can kill, well, they can kill them, for one thing. But even just having them, they can have a low-grade not feeling good, and we're not, you know, detecting it.
Look at a person, a human being, when they have kidney stones. I mean, I've never had that, but I'm told that it's so painful that some people can't endure it without painkillers, because it's such a painful thing when they're passing stones. So I can't even imagine for these little guys if they have that.
Well, because my water is extremely alkaline.
Mm.
So even when they're drinking the water, it's still a lot of alkaline water.
Oh.
So, because well, they're making me nutty because they decided that they didn't like this wet food and they didn't like this wet food. And, I mean, it's like they'll all eat the dry food.
Yeah.
Which is designed from, you know, who knows if it's true or not, but it comes from Italy. And it's designed not to create those problems.
Mm.
But who knows if they will or not. I don't want to risk the cat on it. I'm going to start thinking about that, Walt. Thank you for that.
Well, one of the things that we noticed over the human food that they love very much and they never reject is ground turkey. But the thing is, it's fine once or twice. But if you're going to give them human food, you have to go to the health food store and buy taurine capsules. Taurine is an amino acid that the cat's body does not produce, and they need to consume that daily. If you look at the list of ingredients in any cat food, one of the items you see all over the place is taurine. And the way that cats get that in nature, for people that have, well, about my next door neighbor, she would let her cat kill rodents, little bunnies and mice. And the first thing they do is eat the head, because taurine is present in the brain of rodents. That's how they get their daily dose of taurine. That's why all, you know, man-made cat food has that ingredient. So in New York for a while, we couldn't get them to like any commercial cat food, so my mom started making them ground turkey. But every time she would feed them, she would pour a capsule of taurine into the mix, so they would have that. They need it, otherwise they can get ill if they lack that. It's their bodies that does not produce it. In human beings, taurine benefits the eyes and the brain, so even humans benefit from taking that amino acid.
Wow. Well, I knew about that. I knew what it was. But no, my guys didn't even like to roast turkey. Mm-mm. I tried that. Because I give that to the dog. I cook up a turkey and you know, make...
No, these guys are eating it raw. They like the raw ground turkey.
Oh.
No, if you cook it, they don't care. You're right. They don't care for it if you cook it. So I guess they like the texture and smell of the raw ground turkey, but... like I said, it doesn't have the amino acid, so it has to be supplemented if one is going to feed them that.
Well, I haven't had any mice or rats, I can't say that. There was one little mouse that was hanging around, but they left. but nobody wants to come in just because of the smell of the cats, I'm sure.
Correct. Oh, yeah. They're not. My neighbor was asking me if one of my cats is a mouser because hers passed away of old age. And now she has a mouse in the house. And I thought, yeah, none of my cats are going to be visiting your house anytime soon because none of them like her at all. So, and if anything, the only one that would be even remotely interested in killing a mouse would be the mother of the kids, because she actually grew up as a stray, so she learned to survive in the wild. But all the others, if they catch a mouse, they play with it. They don't want to kill it. They just pick it up and toss it around, but they don't even have the slightest inclination of killing it. To them, it's just an interesting toy.
When Newbie was still with me, and I don't for the life of me know what happened. I seriously don't. But you know, I mean, I walk back and forth between the kitchen and the living room, and, you know, and all of a sudden I turn around and I'm going to walk back outside, back in the living room, and there's Newbie sitting there, and he's looking at a dead rat. And I don't think he put it there because this rat was almost as big as him. I mean, this is a big rat. And he's looking at it like, what the hell is that? And he looks at me and he's like, what is that? You know, I mean, it was like, I don't know. The rat must have, like, stumbled out and died right there while I was in the kitchen. It was the only thing I could figure out.
Was it, were you able to notice if it was a muskrat? They're coming around the swamps and lakes.
No, this was a rat.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But they haven't been around since these guys got in the house. It's like, house stinks like cat. Don't go in there.
Yeah, the smell alone. Well, they don't need to be killing anything. They just, their presence is enough.
That's what we need to do. We need to be able to make a smell that smells like cats, and that would be an anti-rodent thing, right?
I guess. Or you can program your spiral to produce that necessary essence. And as a human, you wouldn't have to smell it because it would be at the energetic level. But the animals would smell it.
Oh, okay. Well, anyway, I got real cat smell, so I don't have to worry about it right now. I got a lot of... actually, they're not bad at all. Apparently, E.T. cats don't have stinky poops.
Boy, mine have stinky poops. They must be regular cats.
Well, one poops does stink, but I think that's mama's. I don't think the cats... I mean, I haven't never really noticed it.
Huh.
Because mama is a earth cat. Those other three, not so much. Anyway, but that paper that I had you read...
Mm-hmm. Did you read it, all of it?
No, I haven't had... Well, I could have done it, but
I need you to read all of it because we need to share points. Because the way that the person talks, I mean, I'm sorry, but this person is describing the work of Shanghai. I know that nowhere anywhere in the paper are you going to find that word mentioned, but I thought you yourself would find it interesting because... In the middle of the paper, this person was bringing up the subject of 5G. So I thought, wow, this is really up Nancy's alley. And that's why I was asking you if you could just, you know... It's not that long. It's only 7 pages, and the text is not tight at all. It's just very large paragraphs.
I know, but I was getting ready for Barbara Manessis. Okay. And mm-hmm. I just couldn't go there this morning. I don't know this guy, but this guy wanted to be on the 5G radio show with Michael and Maya. Anyway.
Yeah.
And I told Michael, I said, that the 5G is not the show that this person should be on. You know, so if you're interested, if you think that you want to talk to him, I'm asking him if he wants to talk to a guest. Do you want to talk to a guest? We can bring him on and we can have a conversation about it.
About what?
Oh, Dolly, I forgot you were here. Just sit there for a minute. It's science. It's science, honey. You wouldn't want... You would not want to... Get involved in this question.
Give me a sec.
I need to step away from the keyboard for a sec. I'll be right back.
Oh my God! I chased him away. I asked him if he wanted a guest, and he's now he's run away from the keyboard.
I guess he doesn't.
Oh my gosh! For those people who may be new to this show, because this show is rather quirky. This is the flagship show of all the shows I've ever done. And I did a lot when JP and Will Spirit was doing. But this show was really the first show that I got involved as my own show. And Colleen Kelly was producing. And when I started it out, I didn't know what I was going to do. It was one of those... You remember the story, Dolly? It was so strange because... I didn't understand the situation over at Wolf Spirit, you know, that Colleen was Colleen, okay, Walt's back. I'm going to just tell this one quick story, Walt. Colleen, sure. Colleen was a producer, and so wasn't JP. And I was doing shows with JP, but then when Dave transitioned, because once he transitioned, he couldn't produce radio anymore. This is a problem when you're dead. He can't produce radio. So Colleen stepped in. And, you know, she began to produce and stuff. And so, but a lot of the hosts just left the station. And I said, well, Colleen, do you need somebody to be on? Yes, I do. So that's how I got involved with Colleen and Cosmic Reality. And I was stumbling. I didn't know what to do. I tried a couple of different shows trying to get a hold of some kind of a format. And then I got a hold of Walt Silva, and I said, Walt, you want to come on my radio show? And so he comes on, and the first show was so amazing. I mean, absolutely amazing, but it never got recorded. You know, I mean, I thought, well, this is very interesting. We only talked Shungite. And after the show, I went, oh my God, that was really a good show. I didn't know it hadn't been recorded, but I, oh my God, that was a really good show. But then I went into a state of panic because I had gotten this guy on my radio show as my co-host, and I really didn't know if he knew anything beyond Shungite. I had never had a conversation with him except over Shungite. So I'm going, oh my God, you know, we just covered the entire Shungite subject in one 2-hour session. I said, what am I going to do? Oh, God, I hope he knows something about it. And then the next show, he gets on, and after that, I started saying, what do you want to talk about, Walt? Because I have not ever brought in a subject, or very seldom, that Walt didn't know. I mean, where he really, really, really impressed me was when he knew that bees do not have lungs. I'm going like, why does he know that? Anyway, so that's how Walt and I got together. Really, it was one of those tosses. You know, here, swim, threw us into the lake, and oh, okay. So since then, that's the way we run this radio show. It's like sometimes, and when we were really, really dedicated and had a lot of time on our hands, we would plan for shows, and we did some amazing shows. But nowadays, we just, you know, are here to touch base with each other and to entertain and to be open to whatever spirit thinks we should talk about. Although sometimes I wonder if spirit has shown up. Oh no, we're busy today. We can't help you out, guys. That was kind of last week, Walt.
Oh.
It was like, what do you want to talk about? Oh no, what do you want to talk about, me and Dolly? You know?
Yeah, we kept the whole thing going.
We did keep it going. Yes, we did. Yep. But you were missed. You were missed.
Oh. So sorry about that, but I wouldn't have been any fun because I was like, I think I must have gone to bed at 6 a.m., not 6 p.m. I was so dead tired. So I wouldn't have been any fun for you guys.
Yeah.
I would have been talking to the posse, not to you guys. I would have been on the other side.
That's funny. So, all right. So what do you want to talk about? Oh, what were you talking about? You got into something. What were we talking about? The cats?
You were talking about this.
Oh, this guy,
particular guy with this right
here. The guest spot. Yeah, are you interested in talking to a guest on that subject? The one that wrote that paper.
Well, the thing is that I'm sorry that you haven't read it because the paper is obviously slanted towards selling what he makes. This mm-hmm. person has developed a sticker. The sticker, it's a circular sticker. It looks like it's about half an inch in diameter, and it's the photo of Tesla. So the paper is a technical, I guess I would say the word, explanation as to how what this person has developed works. And he's not off the mark in what he talks about because he begins his argument with talking about toroids and the toroidal shape and how, for example, red blood cells look like a miniature toroid. And he's not off the mark because in that book by Dr. Costa, Primal Legacy, when he talks about the nature of the manifested world, you know, the nature of matter, he says if you go down below the atoms themselves, below subatomic levels, you'll see that everything is made up of all these tiny vortices. Because that's exactly, when you're looking at a toroidal field, because it's not made of substance, it's an energy pattern. What you will see clairvoyantly mostly are going to be the two vortices, the two poles. Because a vortex looks like a donut or like an inner tube. So if you look down the middle, you have a vortex that's pouring in, and on the other side, another vortex that's pouring out. It goes in one side and it goes out the other side. So when you're looking at these trans-subatomic particles or components of matter clairvoyantly, that's what you normally see, little teeny-tiny vortices that make up everything. You seldom get to see the rest of the donut shape. So this person is making an argument how everything has this shape, like the red blood cells, because that center is very important. It's a point of balance. You know, when the things are in balance, it's, something is in a healthy state, because that center is centered where they're supposed to be, in the center of the donut. But when that's a natural, he makes a point that that's a natural structure. That's the way nature makes everything. But
well, even the human being has that same structure.
Correct. I mean, for those people out there that have read Drumbalo Melchizedek's book, Living in the Heart, you see his description of the toroidal field that the heart generates and the toroidal field that the human body generates. So what this person is, the argument that he makes in the paper is that when exposed to these unnatural fields, because he puts in, there's also like a philosophical slant to his writing, like this thing of making things to make money is part of the distortion of reality, you know, because everything he says, like, all of these energies being generated with cell phones and it's all meant, you know, to force people to pay for something, you know, to pay for a service. But his philosophy is not here or there. That's his view. My focus in reading the paper was, does he make technical sense? So he goes on to say that, okay, you get hit with all these man-made frequencies, and then that center, which would be like a null point in the center of each of these donuts, gets thrown off center. And that's when you have this imbalance is when you have illnesses and distortions and all the other things. So his claim is that when you apply this thing that he has developed, that he has invented, something called a deca, something according to the description is something based on photons or some based on light, then your null points in all your toroidal structures go back to the center and get balanced. So as I'm reading this description, I mean, I could easily have changed the name of what he's naming for the word shungite, because it's exactly what shungite does. That's why shungite corrects the torsion fields in EMF, brings them back into balance, brings them back, makes them positive, as opposed to rotating counterclockwise. So all his description sounds like another view of how shungite works. The work of shungite being explained from another person's point of view, based on this understanding that everything has a toroidal structure. The one part where you would disagree with him, because of your own personal stand on the subject, is that you would disagree that what he's offering is an antidote for 5G. So that, but that's, you know, it's a totally different issue. I was just focusing on the technical and what is this. And of course, there's absolutely nothing. There's no explanation what's in their sticker other than to say he just gives it a nice name. I think, what is the name again? Hold on a second. I want to be accurate in what I'm saying.
Don't say it. Don't say it.
Oh, don't say it because it would be plugging the product?
Well, don't say it. Please.
Oh, okay. So, fine. Then he, whatever this thing is that he names that's in the sticker, it's not like when you're buying a bottle of juice and it says ingredients, it contains this and this. No, there's no such thing. It doesn't say what it contains. He just says that, okay, you put the sticker on your device and then all your toroidal fields gets balanced and get brought back into the center and you get, and when he describes the effect on the, well, another thing, remember you guys did, with the help of that doctor in Florida, you did all that thermographic photos?
Yes.
With the person before and after making a phone call and all that stuff. The document has the same thing. I wish you'd seen it. It has one of the pages has three. It's not thermography. It's more like an aura photo.
I saw the pictures. Yes.
Okay. So it's the same thing. He's showing, you know, without doing a 1 minute phone call, you see the person's feel. This person is looking at the camera as opposed to standing in profile. Then the person makes a 1 minute phone call. You see the feel all distorted, and you see these swaths of green color above the person's head. And then with the sticker on, everything goes back to normal, which is like, hello, this looks very familiar. Because, well, you guys did the...
what's interesting to me is that, well, there's a lot of things interesting about this, but as just after I sent you that paper, and I looked at it and I said, okay, I need Walt to look at this. And so I sent it to you, and then I was over on Facebook, and somebody came posted on the Shungite Reality. I just got some stickers from the local gems or whatever, and they work. And I'm going like, okay, so we've got a lot of people out there who are, because this is not the first time I've heard this, but it made me think of it, you know? Okay, we've got a lot of people out there that are making stickers and claiming that they're doing this, this, and this. I'm not going to dispute it. I mean, how do I know?
Exactly.
You know, it's your product, and but the one thing I will say is that everything that we have done, you and I have done, we have done up and above board in the open and explained it to people, what is in our product. We have never not talked about Shungite. Shungite is the magic. And a lot of people out there are putting out products that I know for a fact work, but they work because of Shungite, not because of some weird story that they tell you about what's in it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, just be careful out there when you're buying some of these other stickers. You know, I don't care if you buy them or you buy ours, but just be aware of the fact that we have spent 5 years perfecting our products. And yes, we tell you how to make them, but we can't tell you how to take the energy of Walt Silva and the energy of Nancy Hopkins and the energy of Derek Condon and the energy of Dolly and the energy of all the people that follow us and are really putting their own energies into what we do.
And we're not, at least for me, I can't speak for you, but at least for me, I never claimed to be any kind of genius. We went through a lot of trial and error to get them to work right, because this isn't working. Let's do this something else. Okay, and it's semi-working. Let's try this out. So we kept tweaking and fine-tuning it and making changes until we finally got to a structure that it addresses the issues that like the smart sticker combining geometry with the mixes and, you know, the S4. So we kept at it until we were satisfied that it was doing the work that it was supposed to do. We didn't just slap something together. Okay, we're done. No. That's not the way to do it.
and all the time we were doing it, it was like, I mean, I was feeling it energetically. I'd say, I'm feeling this. This isn't. And then you'd make another change. So it was two people working together to try to get this right. But most of the time, we didn't have any preconceived notion of what the change would be when we would make the changes. We were just throwing stuff against the wall and seeing if it stuck. And if it stuck, yeah, we'd go, why did it stick? Right? I mean, Jungite was teaching us the whole way. We were just responsive to working with it and, you know, allowing it to teach us. At least that's the way I was going at it. So, you know, it's sacred to us. Shungite's sacred to us. And no, it's not gonna protect you against 5G from the standpoint of enterology. It could, but that's not the point. The point is, it can't clear everything worldwide, because how are you going to get this all over in time to stop 5G? So that, okay, yeah, go ahead, put your 5G up there. 5G is not in any way, shape, or form designed to bring you faster internet. It is designed to create the Internet of Things.
And the thing that I point to people that write me individually asking about this business of Shanghai and the 5G, I keep saying to them, well, you know what? Binding personal protection is, you know, it's good. It's good to be protected against these things, but how do we go about protecting all the forests and all the wildlife and all the birds and everything? Because everything is going to get cooked. So we can't go around, you know, pouring stickers on every single tree and every squirrel and every butterfly. And it's inconceivable, because that's what these guys want. It is, you know, blanket destruction, blanket murder. So it's like those movies where there's a nuclear holocaust and you survive it. What is it that you survive? Now you're standing naked in the middle of a destroyed city?
That's exactly what I tell them, you know. Oh, fine, you're protected, but what do you, there's nothing left. What was the point?
Exactly. So, and this is one of the things, it is interesting to note. I don't know if you got a chance to glance at the Fulford report. It is very significant. Like he says, the forced resignation of Theresa May, the Prime Minister of England, because in a previous report, he says it outright. She was the one that was all gung-ho pushing for the deployment of 5G in all of the UK. And now she's not there. She's not there to push for this crap. So that's why he says, you know, this domino going down, it's actually going to have, it's a cascade effect. Others are going to go down. So that was really significant that she's out of the picture.
5G is a godsend to us, because 4G was killing everything. We're in the midst of the sixth extinction event. One guy, let me just pull this up, because this will push the wrong button. Okay, where is this one? Oh, gosh. Is it this one? Oh, please be this one. There's that one, too. There is so many interesting things up. But this particular... is this it? All right, no. Okay, this guy did, he was researching this very contained natural habitat over a number of decades, and virtually everything in the habitat's gone now because they kept upping the Wi-Fi in the area, and 95% of everything is there that was there is gone. So all over the place. I mean, that's why I'm going, like, is it that one or that one? Oh, that one's a good one, you know, because it's like I spent 45 years trying to get people to pay attention. And I'm just an example of many people that did this, and nobody would listen to us. But the 5G is so in your face stupid that people are not, to be able to explain it, they have to talk about 4G. So now you're seeing people realize that they were killing us anyway. I mean, you know, if you look at the statistics, you know, before they got the first tower up, the first semblance of any kind of Wi-Fi, anything, there was virtually, I think the autistic rate was one in hundreds. You know, I mean, there weren't, and now it's down to one in something like 36. Every time they up that, you get autism. Alzheimer's wasn't even on the radar because it was dementia. They had dementia, but this Alzheimer's thing, that's new. Where did it start? Well, when we put the Wi-Fi in. You know, when it started up, when the electrical system started to overpower the toroidal field of human beings. But you can see people dying. I mean, right now, you know what's getting a lot of traction is the concept that, okay, so you're going to put the 5G in, and all these people are going to get sick. Who's going to heal them? The hospitals are all overcrowded now. You're going to have a total breakdown in your health response capability if it goes in. And that's getting a lot of traction because, you know, a lot of people, they can't. My husband's dying of cancer. My kids are all autistic. I've got all these problems. I can't think of this 5G thing. Well, think about the fact that none of those people are going to have any health assistance because of the overwhelming requirement because everybody's dying. I mean, that's a nice future, you know? I mean, so every time you look at 5G, it just is so awful that people are beginning to listen. And the last thing we want them to be is to be afraid. Because we know now, it's a system, it can be broken. You know, but you've got to come together as humanity. Another thing that has been cropping up recently is, well, we'll get our ET friends to help us. No, this is something that this is something that humanity has got to do by ourselves. Yes, the ETs and the dimension, all the angels, you know. But hey, listen, you know, do you remember when we were clearing the Gold King mine disaster? Mm-hmm. And we had all the djinn working for us, nature spirits, the sprites in the water. We, you know, just an amazing number of other beings that were working with us on this. But the archangels were observing. They did nothing. You know, and Gaia did nothing. She sat there, and you remember, because the only thing she said was wait. And when she said wait, it was to wait until human beings woke up, and you know, I mean, it all that whole flickering of light that came up from the United States, they threw me out of body, and I'm looking down at the United States, and the eastern, I was like over the Atlantic, and the eastern part of the continental United States was what I was looking at, and so you could see it as people woke up and they found out about this terrible thing that was happening. All of a sudden, they started to put this energy out. All of this just these little bundles of energy until they coalesced into one big thing, and boom, that sucker turned on, and that water went transmuted. I mean, we don't even know how fast the transmutation happened, Walt, because we weren't there on the ground. But by the next morning, the rivers that had been orange, solid orange for miles were clear. You know, that's the power of human thought when it, you know, works with all of nature, and we don't need the devices, but the devices are there to train us. But Shungite,
well,
just
when you think of what you're describing is in alignment with what Anastasia said in one of the books, that when the people would go out into the forest to commune with God, they didn't need religion because everyone could just speak openly with the Creator. And the one time the creator says, yeah, it is my creation, but you are here because you're supposed to help me manage it. So yes, the God is the ultimate source of all that is. But the reason we were made in the image of the creator and given the powers of the creator is to help with managing that creation. So that's why we are co-creators. So, you know, if you take a kid and you rescue him from every scratch knee, every stub toe, they never learn. They're going to stay kids until they're 80. And we're supposed to grow up. Right? That was one of the most powerful messages in the book End of Childhood by Arthur C. Clarke. We have to grow up. You know, that's childhood is over, guys. We have to grow up, wake up to the fact that you are stewards and protectors of this world, not its owners. And that's how you should behave, like cosmic grown-ups, not perpetual octogenarian children. Me, 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 mine, mine, mine. This is my world. This is my property. You go away. My toy. Nobody touches my toys. No, that doesn't cut it anymore. We have to grow up.
I was listening to somebody, and I can't remember exactly who, but they were talking about disclosure. And mm-hmm. they made the point that they felt that what would happen if, you know, they say, okay, we don't want to disclose the fact that we're not alone in the universe, because it would cause panic in the human family, right? Well, the human beings would go into panic, and then society would fall apart, religion, all this stuff. And this person, whoever it was, God bless him, said, maybe that's not the fear. Maybe the fear is the threat from outside would cause the human beings to come together as a family. And then you have no control over them.
Yeah, exactly.
Dolly, I know I told you to sit in the corner, but you can come out now. Maybe she left the room. Dolly!
I'm here, I'm just...
What happened to Shannon? Listening. How is Shannon doing?
Who? Oh, Shannon.
I don't know.
Is your mic down, hon?
Oh, no. There. He went to some doctors, and they... So he has to go back, but I haven't heard because they're mad at me now.
Why?
Because I did a Dolly Shares talking about them, and they didn't appreciate that I shared my love for them on the air. Because I exposed them.
Oh, they don't want to be regular human beings? They're perfect gods?
I'm not going there, Walt. I'm not going to say anything more.
I got this message on my phone. You got to get this specific episode down from YouTube, because my family has found it and they didn't like it, and now they're not talking to me. And so I did it right away. But I didn't know. I wasn't paying attention as to when she sent that. So I called her up and I said, "Okay, I took care of it." You know, I said, "Can you talk?" And she goes, "No, I can't." So I don't know what the story is, but we can't talk about it because her family might find out.
Well, I don't care if they find out. My brother-in-law evidently has been listening to Dolly Shares, and so he stirred the pot by telling him at the graduation that your mother put this out, she made you sound awful evidently, and yada, yada, yada. And what I did was I shared my love for them and why I love them, and they didn't appreciate having it aired on the internet. So they haven't talked to me since, and I don't know if they ever will. It's up to them. They'll contact me when they want to, but I love them irregardless.
You know how contradictory this whole thing sounds in this day and age of celebrity dumb, where everybody wants their 15 minutes of celebrity status on the internet? That's why they keep posting selfie after selfie after selfie. I mean, they film themselves going to the bathroom because they need to be fed the attention of others. This sounds counterintuitive. You know, here, you know, someone's giving you a tiny bit of exposure on good intentions because you were expressing your love. But that's I'm offended because now people out there are aware that I'm an imperfect human being and I have problems just like everybody else. That's another, you know,
human thing. What adds to their uniqueness, their wonderfulness to me. But let's not discuss it anymore.
Yeah, okay. I just think it's funny. That's all I am. I'm sorry that you got hit this way, but you should never... One of the things that's super important, at least important to me, you should never be sorry of who you are. And I do not see... Granted, everybody's got a different definition of what privacy means for them, but I do not see that you've done any... You haven't killed anybody. You haven't committed any major crimes. I think the whole thing is just a matter of perception. But you should not... I don't think you need to apologize for being who you are. That's like a flower. Apologize. I'm sorry I'm not a rose and I just was born a daisy. No, no. That's not right.
Well,
if you know, that's...
My question here is, now you have not hidden the fact that you've been a radio host for what now, 4 or 5 years? What the hell did they think you were talking about? I mean,
I'm not saying another word.
Another word, not another word. Okay. Well, I'm saying that to your brother-in-law if he's listening. What the hell did you think she was talking about? Yes, we know a lot of things about a lot of people. I mean, we talk about everybody. And we're open and honest. And if you don't get to this point in your life, well, you're not going to go into the new reality. We're in the new reality.
There's another thing, Nancy. Remember the game of telephone as a little kid where you would put 5 or 6 kids in a row and the first kid would say something to the second kid and the second would repeat it to the third and so on. So at the end of the row, the last kid is supposed to repeat what was said, and it was nothing like what the first kid said. Remember that game? It was called Telephone?
Oh, yeah.
Well, how do we know how the brother-in-law presented the information to them?
Maybe well, they listened. Walt, they listened to it.
To the show?
They know exactly what I
said. Oh, okay. That's what I was wondering.
Yeah, they know exactly what I said, but they didn't appreciate me putting it on the air.
Oh, okay.
That's what they didn't appreciate. Well, that's easy. Now, on the air.
Write some documents and have them sign it.
I'm not even going any farther with it. It is what it is.
Yeah.
The only thing that I really feel bad about is that they really didn't want it aired. Other than that, I'm okay with it because that's why I love them. What I said about them is why part of the reasons I love them so much, because they're unique people. And we need to change the subject, all right?
Okay.
Well, you're the one that brought it up.
No, it's my fault. I brought it up because I asked how was Shannon doing, but I guess
that's right.
To myself, you know. I won't ask anymore.
It was Walt's fault.
My fault.
Oh, God. Yeah, okay, all right. One of the things I wanted to talk about, because this, what time is it? Oh, see, we're having fun, so it's going fast.
I will say one thing. I asked, well, why does Mark listen to it? They don't give a shit. And I was told so that he can prove to everybody how crazy you are. So that's all I wanted to say. We're done now. I've been out there showing how crazy I am for how many years now?
I was going to ask you if they had planned
that
an intervention.
An interference?
You know what that tells me? There's a part of them that screams how not crazy you are, but they're desperate to prove that you are crazy. Because you do not sound crazy and you do not talk about crazy things. It's just their inner knowing is ringing like a bell saying, you know, this lady's talking the truth and she's saying things that are true and real. But there's that part of the ego that doesn't want to face it. I mean, this is the same contraction like when my next door neighbor, when I tried to talk to her and explain to her that the value of the dollar is your very own life. I said, go dig out your birth certificate. Look at the frame of the birth certificate, the margin, where all the little twirls are, and you'll see it says treasury note. That was issued when you were born. You are property of the state. That is the value of the dollar. There's no gold or silver behind the dollar. She started to shrink like a balloon where you take out the air. She said, well, I don't want to talk about this anymore. And that's exactly what you're facing. You're saying things that are so stark truth. I can't do it. I can't deal with this. I can't be facing about this. I can't be talking about this. That's it. We have to. So the only way to neutralize this, we have to prove that the person saying these things is she's out of her rocket. It can't be true. It's too real. It's too. I can't deal with it. You know, this person. It has to be her. You know, the problem has to be her, not me. I'm perfectly okay. I'm just normal. You see what I'm saying?
She's not going to talk about it anymore.
Okay, no, that's fine. I'm just asking if you're hearing what I'm saying.
I hear what you're saying. I mean, you know, well, I went off and when my sisters and family were so mean to me, you know, last year or year before, whatever, I went on, made a whole show about it. And I thought, someday maybe they'll listen to this, and boy, aren't they going to feel bad about themselves. But now I'm thinking, oh, man, maybe they won't. They'll just hate me more. Oh, well, tough chip.
Well, hey, I've divorced 100% of whatever family I had, whatever biological family I had left in this world. I'm 100% divorced. So the day I'm gone from this world, nobody will find out. So and I'm totally okay with it because I choose not to have any social contact with a bunch of uncivilized cavemen. Well, I shouldn't be criticizing cavemen because they were really civilized. They knew how to survive when there wasn't any electricity or Wi-Fi or cell phones. So they deserve all my respect. Not these people. Sorry. No.
I mean, if anybody was going to get in trouble, it should be you. Hey, listen, I got to tell you this before I forget, because this is another one of those. Every day, there seems to be something else that 5G is going to do terrible to the Earth. But the NOAA's acting director, Neil Jacobs, who I kind of like. Actually, I do like him. Okay, went so far.
Oh, you mean the impact on the weather warning system?
Yeah, listen to this. Okay, went so far as to say 5G could set weather forecasting accuracy back 40 years. The Trade Association of the Wireless Industry called his claims absurd and scientifically baseless. It noted a microwave sensor for the polar orbiters that would have been seriously impacted ended up being mothballed. But NOAA's experts and other university scientists countered with the Trade Association blog claims of bad science with a fact ignored by the industry. The replacement sensors for the mothballed sensors is very similar. What the hell does that mean? I'm reading the wrong thing. But what it is that the 5G is going to jam up the weather satellites. They're not going to get accurate information coming back to them because of the proliferation of this Wi-Fi, 20,000 satellites, more than are up there right now altogether. And I'm going like, wow, well, they can forecast the weather because they'll just do whatever they want. Oh, it's going to do this, and we'll make it do it, you know, the other guys. But the honest to God, and to call the head of NOAA not a scientific nerd is preposterous. This is
the only way you can have that job is to be a scientist.
Yeah, I mean, it's preposterous. It's like, it's the same every time somebody says blah, 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 they say, you know, you've got bad science, and, you know, and call them nuts. But the people that are saying this are the scientists, are the doctors. I mean, when what was the big court win that Mark Steele just went through? Well, so Mark is talking out about 5G, and he talks to the local commissioners in the city of Gateshead, and then they called him a terrorist. And then there was another whole series of stuff that happened, but basically it was found that, okay, Mark Steele, you cannot talk to these people. There was a court injunction against him for approaching these people in any way, but Mark apparently didn't think that meant digitally or over phone, because he sent them emails, and he called one of these guys, And while they were having a conversation, Mark called him a liar. But so it's sort of like a restraining order, I think, that we would have in the States. They call it something else. So he goes before the judge, and the judge says, well, you know, on these three counts of breaking the restraining order, he said, I have to find you guilty. But these other two that are sort of, I don't remember exactly what they were, but it was basically saying that Mark is a crackpot and should be silenced. And he forced them to, he didn't find that way. He found him to be an absolute authority on it, and that what he is saying should be considered. So the results of the court case were that he was fined, and it wasn't a big fine. And then the judge suspended the fine. You don't suspend fines, or none of us had ever heard this before. But that was a huge win for 5G, because now the courts are saying, you've got to listen to these people. You can't claim that they don't know what they're talking about and they're not talking science and it's not happening. It was like he was saying, you people are Chicken Littles with your head in the sand. You better damn well get it out. And then the lawyer for the counsel said, oh, okay, well, we want him to pay for this court case. And the judge said, yeah, why don't you try that one?
But that's like being sentenced to 10 lashes and somebody lashes you with a silk scarf.
Exactly.
It's just a token gesture. It's not meant to punish anybody for anything.
And it was a silk scarf that was full of incense and, you know, wonderful. I mean, so, you know, yes, we talked 5G and it's terrible. Now the weather, we're not going to know when the hurricane's about to hit us. There was another article that came out about the bugs and why 5G is so killing them so awfully. And it's because the bugs in their antennae are cut exactly in the same wavelength. So what happens is that when they hit the millimeter field, their antennas essentially burn up. And now there's science to, that's why the bugs are dying, right? Every day there is more and more information coming out. I mean, like, okay, here's another, this is bizarre. Okay, this is from Waking Times, and I'm just going to quickly go through this. There's the official explanation of why NASA is spraying lithium, a pharmaceutical drug most often used to treat people with manic depression or bipolar disorder, into our ionosphere. And then there is a probable reasons. It would be easier to accept NASA's official explanation if they were not so secretive about everything they study and do in space. But one thing is for certain. NASA's own personnel have admitted that lithium, along with other chemicals, are intentionally being placed into our environment regularly. It is possible that many of NASA's own employees aren't even aware of the true motivations for carrying out such a project, ironically displaying the very behavior that these chemicals pharmaceuticals are meant to instill. The first bombshell video, a NASA employee admits that lithium is being sprayed into the atmosphere and says that it is harmless to the environment. Before I give you NASA's official explanation of why they are spraying psych medications over hundreds of thousands of Americans, I'd like to point you to some references that you can do your own research and discover that this is no conspiracy theory. It is very real, and there is ample scientific documentation to corroborate what I put forth here. So a bunch of things are being, you know, listed there. Okay, and he goes, okay, the project is studying neutral and charged particles in the ionosphere and how they affect the way the other moves, resulting in currents in the region. The variations matter because all of our communications and GPS satellites can send signals through the ionosphere. A disturbed ionosphere translates to disturbed signals. So scientists want to know just what causes the ionosphere to behave in such a way. Now, can you imagine what we're saying here? They're saying that they need to understand better the ionosphere so that their satellites, with all of their poisonous energy, can better work. And so they're putting lithium in the atmosphere, not even concerned about what's happening below it, so that they can track ions to be able to figure this out, so that they've got a more pure artificial system up there instead of what's natural. And the people on the ground, what's lithium do? It makes you feel like everything is going to be okay. Maybe I've taken too much lithium, because everything will be okay after, well, after the show.
Their behavior is absolutely normal for them, because to them the planet is just a dead rock with a few people on it. It's not a living being. What do they care?
Exactly. Okay, so we've had a very up show this first hour. Not really, but that's okay. So let me see. What shall we play? All right. We're going to do water. Let's just do a water cleansing. Here we go. We'll be right back. 4 minutes.
All I want is the water. All I want is the sea. To feel that sunshine, that warm ocean breeze. I know life is good with a routine, but sometimes I need somewhere to be free. I will search until I find somewhere to calm my mind and feel all the goodbyes inside. Wash with the water, wash in the sea. Live by the water, live to be free. Heal with the water, just feel the peace. Let your mind wander and let it all be. Earth is a privilege that some may not know. Don't take it for granted, 'cause we reap what we sow. We are so blessed to have what we have. Share good intentions and it'll all come back. Search until I find somewhere to calm my mind and feel all the goodbyes inside. Wash with the water, wash in the sea. Live by the water, live to be free. Heal with the water, just feel the peace. Let your mind wander and let it all be. All I want is the water. All I want is the sea. To feel that sunshine somewhere to be free. Wash with the water, wash in the sea. Live by the water, live to be free. Heal with the water, just find the peace. Let your mind wander. Let your mind wander and let it all be.
Welcome back to the Cosmic Reality Radio Show. It's May 28th, 2019. My name's Nancy Hopkins. With me is Walt Silva and Dolly Howard. And I'm hoping they're both back. I'm assuming they are. Are you back, guys?
Yeah. Yeah?
Okay.
Yeah, I asked you a question on the...
I saw it. Yes, yes, I do. But Dolly, did you have anything that you wanted to cover? Did you find anything? Oh, you've been so busy this week. but did you have?
Yeah, because Russell's been here.
Right, Russell's been. But did you and Russell come across anything that was interesting that you wanted to bring up?
No.
Okay.
Not really. We've had a hectic week. Graduation ceremony was really hectic and crazy, and that's all I'm going to say about that, but we had stuff that we talked about that with each other, so we had plenty to discuss that I can't really discuss on air.
Oh, okay.
So I've been busy. I've been busy with family stuff.
Wow, it's like visiting an inmate at a prison.
What?
I feel like I'm visiting an inmate in a prison because, like, what about the and they're whispering and looking around at the guards because all the guards are looking at it like, oh Jesus, sorry, sorry.
Well, that's the only thing that is going to stifle me that I'll be stifled about is talking about Sherry's family on air. Everything else is going to be the same.
Well, so we could still.
I'm just honoring. I'm honoring their wish for me not to say anything about them on the air. I'm honoring that wish.
So we can still make fun of Annette?
Yes. Annette
says, cool.
I don't care what you say about me. She doesn't care.
And Russell's okay?
And she says she doesn't care what they think about her either. Oh, I do have something exciting. Dalton's going to come and live with us.
Who?
Dalton, Annette's son.
Oh, yes, yes.
So she's going to go into work early so she can leave early on Friday to go to Venice and pick him up and bring him here.
Can we ask
sounds like your
why?
House is huge. It's going to accommodate a lot of people.
We have 3 bedrooms. because he lost his job because they closed down the department he was in. And he's at a stage in his life where he just knows it would be good to do a whole new start in life because he's clean and it'll be good to come over here and make new friends and be with people he knows love him.
You said that the East Coast was better for, it was more lively and youthful than the West Coast where it is now.
True.
This is Florida. Just Florida. This is just Florida, not the United States.
Right, right. We're talking Florida.
Well, good.
Yeah, I think he'll be able to make some really good friends over here. And of course, we're going to encourage him and all the good things to help him transition to this side of the world, his world.
Well, good.
So
I'm
looking
for now.
Isn't Dalton 21 now, Ned? Yes, he's 21.
Uh huh. That's a transitional time.
Yes, yeah. It is.
Yeah. Well, every time seems to be transitional until you get to be old like us.
Well, especially today. Today is transitions for everybody.
Yeah. Everything's changing. Everything.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, so shall we listen to Fulford and see what we can talk about when Ben talks? Most of the time I don't know if I believe him or know him, but I like to hear his stories, but let's go. Yeah? You all right with that? How about you, Dolly?
Yeah.
You don't like him.
I'm okay.
All right. Let's see. Fulforito. Okay. Let's log in.
You asked if we wanted you to read it, and you haven't even got it in front of you?
You could have said no, so I have to thank the Republican.
No, okay.
Be prepared.
Okay.
You were definitely not a Boy Scout.
No. cool. I don't want to be a Boy Scout. Who wants to be raped by the group leader?
Oh, no, stop. good thing we don't put this show on YouTube very often.
Yes. I know the report is.
Go.
As Theresa May loses Battle of Britain, West Coast oligarchs sue for peace. The forced resignation of British Prime Minister and Hitler daughter, Theresa May, marked a decisive turning point in the battle for the planet Earth. Multiple sources agree. Already her resignation has forced high-tech oligarchs, Jeff Bezos, Mark Zuckerberg, and Elon Musk, to seek peace negotiations with the White Dragon Society, according to P2 Freemason sources. Meanwhile, U.S. President Donald Trump has spent the Memorial Day weekend in Japan, in part to avoid assassination as moves begin to end the long political deadlock in Washington, D.C., Pentagon and Japanese right-wing sources say. As many of us are aware, U.S. politics have been stuck in an endlessly repeating loop for 2 years, with hysterical Democrats using control of corporate media and every legal tool possible to remove Trump, while Trump endlessly tweets, "Witch hunt." To understand why the resignation of May is crucial to breaking the political deadlock, we need to take a quick look at the FISA-gate scandal. Basically, in 2016, the Rockefeller/Clinton oligarchs asked their Rothschild counterparts in the UK to circumvent U.S. law in order to spy on Trump and concoct the Russiagate scandal to impeach him. May's resignation means the British Nazi, in parentheses, Zionist allied oligarchs who fought against Trump are now all being purged from the British military/intelligence/political power structure, according to British royal family sources. This purge will be accompanied by a similar purge in the U.S., according to Pentagon sources. In quotes, Trump giving U.S. Attorney General William Barr power to declassify gives him clean hands to terminate Zionists when files are released about 9/11, 3/11, Fukushima, and other military intelligence, Pentagon sources promise. A foretaste of the sorts of files that are about to be released came with this leak from Holland of video and photographs taken immediately after Malaysian Air Flight 370/17 was shut down over the Ukraine. The film has been made available for download until June 1st, but be warned that it contains graphic, stomach-churning images of mangled corpses. The whistleblower who sent the file noted that the victims of Flight 17 had invalid Dutch passports belonging to people who boarded Flight 370. Also, many of the bodies were decomposed, wearing winter clothes for a summer flight, or else naked and had no blood. The information contained on the flight's black boxes has never been made public by the English who received them, the source notes. British MI6 sources say both the current and former prime ministers colluded to pervert the course of emancipation of Great Britain, and as always, we found out, so they had to go. Now that they have been removed from power, the release of information from Flight 370/17 black boxes is forthcoming, the sources add. Also, former U.S. President Barack Obama is testifying now about the use of Flight 370/17 for nuclear blackmail against world leaders, CIA sources note. There are many signs the Hazaria Mafia is not taking these imminent disclosures well. For one thing, CNN headlined an article about Trump's visit to Japan with a photo of John F. Kennedy exiting a plane on the day of his assassination. I guess that's kind of like a veiled threat. We also were treated to the spectacle of Representative Jerry Nadler, chairman of the House Judiciary Committee, which ran various congressional investigations against the president, passing out at a press conference. Meanwhile, an obviously high-stress House Speaker, Nancy Pelosi, called for an intervention against Trump. If the U.S. military police do not round up these criminals after such blatant threats against a sitting president, they're guilty of dereliction of duty. In any case, the Zionist rogue state of Israel is also under siege. Mass-murdering war criminal Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has been unable to form a government after his recent attempt to steal the election there. Israel is surrounded by missiles, S-400s, tsunami nukes, and may have to give up the Golan Heights, Pentagon sources note. Meanwhile, the boycott, divestment, sanctions campaign against Israel escalates, with Trump forcing Israel to abandon Chinese projects, while Siemens, Bombardier, Hitachi, Macquarie, Alstom, and a Greek consortium all withdrew from the Jerusalem light rail project, the sources note. The European Union is also reviewing its ties with the Zionist Israeli bank Leumi, they note. Furthermore, Israeli crimes are stoking anti-Semitism to the extent that Germany is warning Jews not to wear their skullcaps, the sources note. The true cost of war is being discussed among Pentagon insiders, perhaps including Army Chief of Staff Mark Milley, already designated to become the next chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, comments Robert David Steele, former Marine and CIA officer. Both the president and the best of the senior leaders understand that being the Zionist tool for the Middle East has cost the USA not just $7 trillion, but 75,000 amputees, 250,000 or more confirmed PTSD cases, tens of thousands of rapes, male as well as female, and a virtual $1 trillion crime wave as contractors have leveraged easy money to cheat the military and the taxpayer, he says. Internationally, the Zionist neocon attempt to force regime change in Venezuela and steal that country's oil has publicly been declared a failure. Also, attempts to start a war with Iran have failed, and instead the U.S. government is now working on a comprehensive Middle East peace deal with Iran and Saudi Arabia, CIA sources note. In Indonesia, a Zionist attempt to overturn the re-election of President Joko Widodo resulted in 7 deaths, 250 injuries, and 400 arrests before fizzling out. In Europe, French Euro-skeptic Marine Le Pen defeated Rothschild slave Emmanuel Macron in EU parliamentary elections. The American and British leaders will be in France to celebrate the 75th anniversary of D-Day on June 6. Looks as if they are set to once again liberate France from German conquerors. These events are all very promising and show that things are indeed coming to a head, but this is a big but. We need to see the people behind these international criminal acts in handcuffs facing a public war crimes tribunal before we can actually believe real change is imminent. There are also many signs that many oligarchs are far from defeated. Patrick Wood from Technocracy News has uncovered a Rockefeller scheme to launder $6 trillion created by fiat money stock market inflation into 8,700 tax-free opportunity zones, in quotes, in the U.S. He notes that this initiative was started by Sean Parker, who co-founded Facebook with Mark Zuckerberg. Wood does not appear to know that Zuckerberg is David Rockefeller's grandson. In any case, as mentioned earlier, last week, Jeff Bezos of Amazon, Elon Musk of Tesla, and Zuckerberg all contacted the White Dragon Society via the P2 Freemason Lodge in Italy to propose a peace agreement, P2 sources say. The three agree that some sort of world federation needs to be set up and humanity needs to be allowed to expand out into the universe, the sources say. They also agree that whoever is blocking human progress needs to be dealt with. Well, if he's the grandson of a Rockefeller, I mean, how can he not know who is blocking human progress? The P2 identify Israel's Netanyahu as one of the enemies who needs to be flushed out and dealt with. The others are diehard Zionist fanatics who still think they are going to artificially create the biblical end times, they say. The other big issue that needs to be settled is the U.S./China trade war. The Pentagon sources think that Trump has wisely used the trade war to let China hammer U.S. companies like Apple, Google, Boeing, and Nike, forcing them to move back home to MAGA. M-A-G-A. Anybody knows what that means? While creating an alternative global supply chain. I guess moving them back home to America. However, the Americas need to study their own recent history. Back in the late 1980s, they forced Japan to increase the value of the yen by over 100%, in effect creating massive tariffs in order to eliminate the U.S./Japan trade deficit. The only result was that Japanese manufacturing moved to the rest of Asia and the U.S. trade deficit kept rising. Because Japan is occupied by the U.S. military, the Japanese were forced to keep buying U.S. government bonds and thus keep the U.S. afloat. This is not the case with China. Also, even if manufacturing should move from China to places like Vietnam, Asia as a whole will maintain a huge surplus relative to the United States. The only way for the U.S. to end its trade deficit, as we keep repeating, is for it to give up the so-called U.S. dollar and issue its own lower-priced sovereign currency. While Asia as a whole does not want to replace U.S. imperialism with Chinese imperialism, they will not continue to buy U.S. treasuries to support constant U.S. warmongering. The Asian secret societies transcend China and promise to keep up the fight against the Zionists until their fanatical nightmare is permanently ended. Once this is done, the Asians and the rest of the world would be happy to support the U.S. military-industrial complex as it transforms itself from a Zionist imperialist tool into a benign planetary protection and space exploration force. And that's all he wrote.
Well, you know, the military-industrial industry, if you take their percentage of the economy, it's equivalent to everything else. It's bigger than everything else. It's twice the size of everybody else. I mean, it's astounding. We are a war nation. I mean, everything is built on this industrial military complex. And you just shift the you know, focus of what this is to something that is, you know, protective and helping. Who knows what can happen because of the amount of money that's involved in it. Now, another thing about there's a lot of things that came up in that article in my mind. One of the things that I see looming, let's put it that way, is that the deficit that they're talking about is that we were giving China a break. They weren't paying anywhere near the amount of tariffs that we were paying to ship to China. So essentially there was a deficit. They were paying very little to come here, and therefore you have situations like Walmart where you can get things so cheap there that the local people lost
the local economies get destroyed.
Okay. So right now where else, but in the state of Florida, I noticed that the Payless shoe stores, it's a chain of shoe stores that had...
They're closing.
All of them. And you have to assume that is because of the fact that they can no longer financially compete because Trump pulled the tariff, you know, the give me from the tariff away from it. I mean, there may be other reasons, but this is what jumped out at me is, wow, you know. Now, what does that mean? Well, that means that local yokels can get together and bring in shoes. You know, they can make their own shoes.
Yeah.
We know how to make these things. It's like the best thing in the world that would happen to America is if the small businesses came back into play. Oh, but I can't afford to. Well, now you can't afford. Well, how much money is it? Say $700 or something per family in more money because of the tariff thing? It's probably going to be a lot more than that. But the thing of it is that, look, this is opening up a new opportunities in our own economy for the local guy, local girl, to get together and fill a need. We don't have any shoes. Not to worry, we can make them. You know, we don't have to go outside of ourselves. We can make them. So to me, everything that you know, a lot of people would look at as being yucky, I look at and see as opportunity in that part. The other thing that got me confused, because I wasn't sure exactly what we were talking about, was the Malaysian planes. Now, are we talking about the Malaysian plane, which I can't remember the number of, that got lost? Yes. And nobody's ever found?
370. Well, it got lost for a while, and then they finally claimed that they found it. But the thing is that the first thing that I remember, not only Trump saying, not only Fulford saying it, but I think Wilcock got into the mix. They were saying that the reason that flight was downed was because there were a number of Honeywell executives in it. They were on their way to some place to discuss some. They were patent holders, and with their death, all those patents fall into the hands of Jacob Rothschild, because he was a shareholder in Honeywell or something like that. My memory is terrible on these little tiny details. But the end result was that by downing that flight, now all of a sudden he's the proud owner of all of these high technology patents. I don't know the specifics of what the technology is for, but it was, I guess, very strategic, very important. But one of the things that he's claiming here is that whatever they found, those are not the original passengers. Because, like he says, some bodies were decomposed. Others were naked. Others were wearing winter clothes when it was a summer flight. And the passports, they're the passports of the, they're fake passports in the sense that their passports belong to the original passengers, not to whatever they found there. So it's like the original passengers were moved. That's my only interpretation of that.
There was a show like that on a movie, and it had Christopher
Walker.
No, not Walker. The dude that sings, and of course, my brain won't. Come on, angels, help me to get that memory. But anyway, it was about this woman that came from the future, and the future was falling apart, and so they were going back in time and saving as many people as they could. And one of the ways they did it was they would take the real live people out. They would sedate them on the airplane.
That was with Chris Christopherson, that film.
Chris Christopherson.
Yes. Exactly. And it was a really good show. They saved a lot of people, but they'd put the dead bodies in the airplane to replace them.
That was a very good movie. I actually saw it too, and I had not remembered what they were doing, except that it was a really good movie. But that's kind of freaky, because we did a lot of when that was happening initially. That was first off, it was all over mainstream, but we're talking about the Malaysian plane that took off, and then supposedly the last I heard about it was that they had proven that the pilot took it down.
Yeah, I heard that too.
That, and I have not heard another thing about them finding it now. This is something brand new. I don't know how we would have actually missed it. But you say that they've actually now got the wreckage with the bodies, and the bodies weren't the right bodies?
I'm looking at the video, but all the subtitles are in German, so I don't speak German. I guess I can pass it through another decoder that will give me English subtitles. There, I'm seeing the images of the wreckage. What it is somebody actually filmed the images and the video from my computer screen because the original video has been removed from the internet. So I guess this person filmed the screen of their own computer, and that's what they saved, and they posted it available for download. But I guess I need English subtitles. These are all German subtitles. I have no idea.
So this just came out in the last week or so?
What's the date stamp on this thing?
I think it was very recent.
I'll have to look into that because I found that to be a very... Well, because what happened, a lot of things happened because of that. First off, I was still listening to the news. I'd go from CNN to, going back and forth. When they start repeating themselves, I go to the next one. Of course, they would repeat just what I heard on the other one. But you get a sense of what they're trying to tell people. And in all of watching all of these different networks and listening to hours and hours of them talking about this, nobody ever mentioned, what was his name? It's an island.
You mean Diego, that island?
Yes, what's
it
the name?
It has a Spanish name in the middle of...
Right.
I forget. Yeah, I know. There's supposed to be a military base there.
Well, there is a military base. This is the thing, is that it was a known military base. It was the biggest base in the area, and all of the staging for going into the Middle East was done there. Delgado. That just flew through. Garcia Delgado, I think it is. Something like that. But anyway, and it was actually a backup landing site for the shuttles missions. So it was a very well-known military. But in all of this time, with all of the radar capability from this island, none of mainstream media ever mentioned that it even existed. And the first time it came on my radar was somebody posting a picture of it and saying, "You guys know what this thing is, and look at you could see outside of the edges of this island that it looked like an underground construction, like a city underground." So
yeah, I'm looking at it, and the article on the case that you're quoting came out on May 1st, 2014.
Yeah, that would have been right.
Malaysia reveals how long-lost jetliner went unnoticed.
Yeah, I mean, so what happened was that I was really into trying to figure out, what this thing was, and I was so focused on it that I actually ended up doing a remote. But this was one of these remotes that's very strange because it's a remote, but you're standing normally kind of behind somebody and you get telepathic with them so you can read their minds. And this guy was like a military kind of person. I mean, he was in a uniform and everything. And remember, I'm standing kind of behind him, so I'm not looking at him. I don't know exactly what uniform, but it was a uniform type thing. And he's looking at this plane, and it's the Malaysian plane. And
he's inside the plane?
No, he's outside the plane. He's outside the plane on the tarmac. But he's looking at the plane. And the reason that he was open for viewing was because he was really emotionally upset because of what he was seeing, what he knew was happening. I wasn't able to hold it with him for very long. It was just like, it was mostly this image of the plane landed there, and he essentially either thought that they were dead at that time or would be dead. Okay, it was sort of like that thing, where he knew that the end for these people was not a good thing. But it was also, he was questioning the secrecy and what are we doing here? Because this was a deep black ops, and some military person not in the know about the black ops thing, it was somehow or another witnessing to it. And so he was going through the emotional trauma of, oh my God, do what I'm supposed to do, or do I try to tell somebody? That type of thing. So my feeling was that they had come down intact, and that they were after the people on the plane. It wasn't that they were going to kill them and get the patents. It was they wanted to know what these people knew. On top of that, you know, so they didn't want to just kill them.
So they did want them to reach their destination alive.
Well, the destination was not the destination they were supposed to go to, because they took over electronic control of the planes, and they just landed them in Delgado Garcia. That's where they landed them. They landed it, okay? And if you look at, I mean, I was really fascinated with the whole thing. You could actually, and that's why I think that the first guy that found this got wondering about it, because the track of what they could trace of the flight, okay, actually had it turned back going towards that island when it disappeared. So he's like, well, if you just and he finds this island and he starts looking at it, and that's when that blew up all over the internet that this island was there, and of course that would have had the plane under radar, but nobody was talking about it at all. That was massive.
You are correct that we're dealing with. That's why he used this 370/17, because Flight 17 is another flight that happened on July 17th, 2014. That's a Malaysian Airlines Flight 17, MH17, was a schedule, according to this, was a scheduled passenger flight from Amsterdam to Kuala Lumpur, and was shut down on July 17th, 2014 while flying over eastern Ukraine, killing all 283 passengers and 15 crew on board. So that's another Malaysian flight. But that was the crazy. That's the flight where it doesn't make sense. The bodies, some bodies were already. It's like it was filled from the local morgue. Some bodies were naked. Some bodies were wearing winter clothes when it's supposed to be a summer flight, because they're flying in July. Others are already showing signs, not a fresh kill, but signs of decomposition. So that's what it sounds like.
There's something very, yeah, there was something very...
It's very fishy.
It's very, very fishy. And, yes, it's been a while since we looked at all this. But then on top of that, there was the other situation that got involved with this, because there was a... it was a plane that came out of Miami on its way to Europe, where there was some kind of a major world political event, like, I don't know if it was at The Hague, or I think it might have been. And this plane ended up becoming associated with the Malaysian planes, because it was the same thing, only it was like stripped down from a civilian plane. And it got crazier and crazier the more you looked at it. Because it was supposedly this plane out of Miami was going to crash into this government meeting and kill everybody. I mean, and that's why I love the internet, because there are just so many, but there's always some kind of basis for it.
They always keep doing that. They always make a film or something when they plan to do something. Remember, that's the rules of engagement. They have to do, this is what we're going to do, and people don't believe it. Or they think, oh, it's just a movie, it's not real. But that's what it is.
Yeah.
It's them saying, them declaring, okay, this is what we're going to do. Too bad you're all bunch of idiots and you don't believe that what we're telling you is the truth, and you think the whole thing is fiction.
I know. They show us all these horror movies from James Bond on up to, just of the things they're going to do, which is what they're doing, right? And we keep going to the movies going, oh, that was a good movie. And every time, so they are getting implicit permission from, humanity to continue to march. You've got our permission,
Yeah.
But now 5G is what woke them up. You know, and they're waking up, and every time I think about 5G, I think about the Japanese when they went and attacked Pearl Harbor, because the biggest admiral that they have, whose name I'm not going to even try to pronounce, he said, "Now we have woken up the sleeping giant." And he felt very strongly that they could never win the war because of the might that he knew. He used to live in the United States. The might that he knew the United States could bring to the table economically. You see, this is what we got to get our heads around, is that all of this stuff where, you know, your economy is terrible. The way that it's situated right now, there are changes that are happening that are actually beneficial for the economy. And the fact that Walmart might be forced to close its doors because your family and your friend's family have started up businesses to compete with them now because they can compete. Because Americans, we just like to build. We like to do things. And we can do it. We can rebuild it all. There's not going to be all of this awfulness. In the new reality, we're going to go back a little bit to reestablish some of the fundamentals. And the fundamentals are, you know, the neighborhood is your family. It's an extended family. It's tribe-like, yes. But done right, tribes become just a group of tribes all working together, another family. And we don't have to have these borders and these fights against. I mean, it just doesn't even make any sense anymore. It's like we're waking up to the craziness, I think. Anyway, I'm babbling.
Well, I remember when I sat down to listen to the presentation by John Pizzutelli in San Diego, and he talked about how things had degraded as businesses were moved over to China. And he mentioned the Huffy bikes. I think Huffy bike, their factory was in Michigan or Ohio, one of these places. And they were such good quality bikes is that in some families, it was almost like an heirloom. You could actually be riding the Huffy bike that belonged to your grandfather. They were such good bikes. They would just, as long as you kept them properly maintained, they would just last. And he says they took the whole factory to China. He says today, if your Huffy bike will last your child 6 months, it's too long. After a year, it starts breaking down to the point that it's not worth maintaining anymore, because all you're going to be doing is changing parts 90% of the time. That's how bad the quality went. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. Many other things that were a source of pride in American industry disappeared because everything was taken there and everything became crap. Case in point, here in the U.S., you are so used to copyright protection and copyright infringement. In fact, a violation of copyright becomes an FBI case. You know, you pay huge fines, you end up going to jail. Well, to burst the bubble, the fairy story in which people live thinking that everything's the same everywhere, that doesn't exist outside the borders of the U.S. Case in point, when I went to Argentina and I used to have an old PlayStation 1 platform that I wasn't using anymore, and I took it as a gift to my cousins who love racing games. And it turns out when I went downtown I wanted to buy them more games for them to enjoy. I visited at least 7 game stores in the middle of downtown, the busiest, most centric places. Every single game in the store was a bootleg, not the original disc. Why? Because an original disc over there cost you $70, and a bootleg game cost you $8 or $9. And what they did is everybody would take their platforms to a local technician, and all that the technician would do is change a chip inside the PlayStation so you could play bootleg discs. And I tried to buy them a game, but it just a basic game for them to, and so they could enjoy another title. The guy at the toy store that was selling legit games wanted $150, and I only paid $100 for the platform. And I said, "This is insane." I said to my cousins, "If you guys want, I'll just give you the money so you can take your platform and have it modified so you can play other games." So every single store, every single title for people to buy is bootleg. Another example is people that make the Apple things, the factories where they make the plastic casing, you know, like the plastic casing for cell phones, the plastic casing for iPads, the plastic, everything that is the shells, the plastic shells that encase your electronic device. I learned of this because our company had that issue that the company that was making the plastic shells for the body of one of the ventilators, they were being made in the Orient because the Orient was cheaper. So they had no other choice but to send the molds to the Orient so the factories can make these plastic shells. Now, mind you, getting these molds made, depending on what it is that you're making, it's anything between $50,000 to close to $100,000. There, you don't buy them by the dozen, let's put it that way. Well, lo and behold, the factory, you know, is doing their part. You know, you're ordering your molds, they're making them, and the molds have your name brand on the mold, on the pieces. But they find ways to get around the name brand that's part of the mold, and they're making molds by themselves and selling it under another name. So these guys are just making shells for all these products, but they find loopholes around the system, and they're selling it to you with another name, even though it's your mold.
Okay, the idea behind the patents, okay, is that they're supposed to protect you from anybody going against you. And this all started out with who made the telephone? Edison. Edison and Bell. Because Edison said that he had developed the telephone, whereas Bell, maybe it wasn't Edison, but this other guy said that he had developed the telephone, and Bell said, "No, I developed the telephone." And the reason that Bell is acknowledged as the one who developed the telephone first was because as he was developing it, he was writing his wife. For some reason, he wasn't home, but he was writing his wife about what he was doing. So when it all came to a head, the documents that the wife had, the letters describing the process, made it a documentary proof that Bell was the first one. So the patent industry came out based on this concept of protection. You get a piece of paper that says, okay, I've done this. I was the first one to do this, and therefore nobody else can do it. I mean, that's basically the way they sell it to us, okay? But in reality, in order for you to protect your patent in this day and age, you have to have a patent in every single country in the world.
Exactly.
And the patent only gives you the right to sue. So, you're going to spend, that's why we never, when we started out, we pulled what were called provisional patents. And what that does, it costs you some money, but you have made a statement that you intend to put in a patent, but you want this year where nobody else can touch it while you continue to develop it. All right, that's the concept behind it. But it protects you for your product for that year. Now, if you want the patent, then you're going to pay through the nose for the patent. But we did a provisional so that Walt and I had a year in which to tell the world what we were doing regarding Shanghai. Because then we put it into the public domain. Because one of the things that this patent fiasco is all about is for Walt and I to say, we got this magical thing called Shungite that does all this magical stuff. And the government says, ooh, they've discovered the story about Shungite. We've got to, you know, stop them. So how they stop them is through the patent thing. Okay? Because now they know that you're out there doing this. There is, like, so many people that had really good ideas that submitted them to the patent office only to have the patent office come back and say, this is considered a state secret and you no longer have any right to it. You know, there's thousands of them. And a couple of years ago, the patent office finally came back and said that that's what they were doing, openly admitted it, and said they were going to discontinue it because it was too, I don't even remember why they said it. It was so strange. Because it's part of this, it seems to me that the dark side just keeps confessing. You know, it's like NASA, why are you talking about lithium in the air? You know, well, because somebody's talking about it. Well, yes, but what is making all these people start to talk about this? You know, it's like the whistleblower thing is becoming the standard. And so it's just take everything is falling apart. But it's good that this is happening because, like I say, we can build anything that seemingly is broken because it's broken now. You know, it's like you're using a really huffy crap bike where you can build a good one. You just have to do it. You know, the process is still there. But they want it obsolete as fast as possible, so you'll buy another one. It's just insane.
All right. That's why the books by Vance Packard are forbidden in U.S. and Canada, because that's what he would write about. The conspiracy of planned obsolescence. I think his first book was about the car industry. And the title of the book is The Garbage Makers, and how the car industry implemented programmed obsolescence because cars were lasting too long, like a DeSoto. I mean, my grandfather, until the day he passed, he was driving a DeSoto that he bought from a junkyard, had been imported into Argentina as a taxi. I don't know in what city it may have been driven, but it had all the colors of the standard taxi that you see in a lot of cities. And all he did was just fix what needed to be fixed in the upholstery. He went through the engine to make sure everything was okay, and he drove it for as long as I knew him. And the thing was a battleship. I mean, if he hit another car, he wouldn't even have a dent on him. The other car would be worthless, but his car... You could hit it with a sledgehammer, and the sledgehammer would just bounce off those bodies. The metal was so thick, but they just didn't break. They just kept going.
Well, you know, Walt, back, I think it was 1974, there was a law that was passed in the United States that prohibited their putting in the alloys and hardening of steel in cars. There's a law.
Oh, wow. Oh, God.
Yeah, so your granddad had one of those before the 74 thing happened. And, instead of having 100% to get the best steel that you can have out there, it's something like they were limited to 25%. So the steel is crap to begin with. And it rusts out and does everything else. That steel from those before 74, you know, those, I mean, gee, I watch American Pickers, and it's the old cars that are still doing good. The newer ones after 74 are not even in existence. They just, you know, are terrible.
So they decompose. They're disposable cars.
Disposable cars. Well, like televisions, I can guarantee, or almost guarantee, that the vast majority of people who replace their televisions replace it because it stops coming on. Because they have a system that says, okay, somebody can own this television and work it for X number of days or X number of hours. Because the last two that I've had, well, actually three, were because it won't turn on. It just won't turn on. And then I found out that this has been put into the, you know, not only do they plan it, they program it. Obsolescence.
Won't turn on. Look at the iPhones. They're finally confessing that the iPhones after X number of thousands of hours that you're using it, it's programmed to slow down. So you get so annoyed with the processor just creaking through the functions that you just give up and go on buy a brand new iPhone. And, well, yours is absolutely okay. They're finally coming out and admitting to it.
Yeah, they're confessing all over the place. Dolly, you've got 6 minutes to confess.
Confess.
Confess, Dolly.
What am I going to confess? I'm an open book.
You were taken out of the library and never brought back.
That's right.
Anything you want to say?
I can't think of anything.
Have you enjoyed the show? Because, you know, we used to leave you in the audience and then we brought you in. But sometimes we just get off on our thing.
Oh, well, when you get off on your thing with that stuff, I just sit here and play games on my Nook. And enjoy being with everybody.
I love you.
Well,
Dolly.
I hope our audience is more riveted than Dolly.
Well, you start talking technical science stuff and all that, and that, I'm not even going to pretend that isn't over my head.
Yeah.
And that's okay that you do it. I got my Nook.
That's like when you talk about the posse. That's so over my head, I'm not even going to pretend that I'm listening.
You guys. So, let's see. What's coming up? We've got on Say What coming up is... Oh, we've got Judy Carroll coming on because Barbara White's not going to be there, but Judy Carroll will be.
Oh, I thought it was the other way around.
No, Barbara's got that. She's doing the rug thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, jeez. Yeah. That's me. Things around.
That's on Say What. And on Wednesday, are you going to have... I've already got Jamie's show. She already sent me the recording. So are you going to have...
This I do not know yet.
Okay.
And I'm going to try.
I hope you're going to read for us.
Well, yeah, I'll read for you, yeah.
That'll be fun.
And put everybody to sleep. I'd hate to miss that.
On the Say What show, Walt, Annie
Avedishian.
Yes, that one. She told Dolly that Dolly's voice was enchanting. And somehow Dolly, you know, translated that to, I put people to sleep. So,
well,
we did have a good time with that one. So anyway, so that's going to happen. And we've got Radio 5G. I'm hoping that Mark Steele joins us, but he's having dental work. He said to me, I've got a big tooth coming out tomorrow, meaning today. And he said, I don't know if I'll... And I said, okay, not to worry about it. But I'm hoping that he may make it. Otherwise, there's a lot of things happening out there about that. And that's at noontime tomorrow. So, Walt, anything else? We've got a couple minutes left.
No, I hope you guys said that the Oak Island season was over, so I guess now we got to wait for the next season for you to fill me in.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we do.
Well, we told you about the ship, right?
Yeah, that's what the ground imaging did with those detonations. They did ground imaging.
Right. Annika, they aren't with me. Yeah. We told you all about that. And we got to wait a whole nother freaking year. One of the first things I'm going to do when I cross over is go find out what's going on at Oak Island.
That's if you get an admittance ticket. Because you said that on the other side, it's like this thing is like crazy protected. It's like an etheric Fort Knox.
I'll be over there. It won't matter.
Yeah, but just because you're there, that doesn't mean you're going to let you in. It's like getting dressed to go to a club. If the bouncer doesn't let you in, he doesn't let you in.
Oh, I don't believe that.
Wouldn't that
I believe
be...
if I want to go, they'll let me. That's the way I look at it, Walter.
Well, why don't you just go now? I mean, you could do it at any time. Not pass over. I mean, do a remote on Oak Island.
Well, because I don't want to do that while I'm here.
But over there, it's okay.
Yeah, because I'll be over there. I won't be here to watch the TV stuff.
Right.
Because when she's over there, she can't get killed twice. So that means she'll be safe.
Hopefully.
Well, make sure you don't get trapped like the souls that decided to park themselves in a dolmen.
Say what?
The dolmens in Russia. Those things are there because there's a soul from the village elder existing in that dolmen, because souls exist outside of time and space. 1 minute or 1 million years is the same to them. They don't care. So each one of those dolmens has a soul parked inside it. So don't get trapped.
No.
Just go for a visit, but don't get trapped.
Yeah. I'll have somebody with me who can rescue me if I need it.
Good idea.
All right, everybody.
I bet you.
we're going to sign off. We're at the 2-hour mark. Thank you, everybody, for being here. I hope we entertained you. We entertained ourselves. Well, at least I was entertained. Were you entertained, Dolly? Were you entertained?
Yes, I was. Very much so. And I want to say, Mona said Cheryl Ladd was the lady.
Cheryl
star.
Ladd, yes, yes, yes. And Walt, you had a good time, I hope.
Yes. The film was called Millennium.
Millennium, yes.
That's it, yes.
Yeah.
I would love to see it again, even. I liked it that much.
Should be rentable.
Well, I'll look on. I'll have Annette look where she looks and see if she can find it for me. Millennium.
Millennium.
Okay, thank you. And I'll try to work on Dolly Shears.
Love you guys. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time. Be safe.
Y'all too. Preaching. The
Welcome to the Cosmic Reality Radio Show with Nancy Hopkins, Walt Silva, and Dolly Howard. This is a production of Cosmic Reality Radio.